higher ed report was complete, but it was taking a little time to get the language finalized and copied and to get it through the revisor's office. That is now complete, so that'll be our first order of business. And then we, the co-chairs continued our discussion for a time with the governor's office on some of the issues that have surfaced from their perspective. So we're back at it, and we're going to be adopting a few additional articles. So Senator Cohen, shall we deal with the higher education article?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, let's go ahead.
And they're prepared.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm very happy to be here to present Article 2, the higher education article. I'm sorry that my partner in crime cannot be here. As we all know, Representative Rukavina is up north preparing for his daughter's wedding. I'm sure the groom's dinner or something is tonight. But we did reach an agreement this morning, and I have with me the fiscal analysts from the House and the Senate, and we'll begin. Well, I guess I wanted to say, first of all, before we go through the spreadsheet, is it's never fun to cut higher education. We don't like to cut any of our budgets because we think that we do good things. And in higher education in particular, we have a lot of students who are pursuing higher education, which has put strain on the state grant. We have a deficiency in the state grant that we're unfortunately not able to fill at this time. So it means that we're serving more students, but everybody has to take a little bit of a cut. And then, as you all know, we've had to cut the Minsky system in the University of Minnesota, but we cannot cut below the 2006 level because of federal maintenance of effort requirements. So we've been fortunate in that our cuts are minimal. We did have some major policy differences between the two bills, but we were able to resolve them. And so now I would like Ms. Weidman to kind of go through the spreadsheet, and then after that I'll go through the language provisions.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if you look at the fiscal 10 and fiscal 11 columns under the conference agreement, for the Office of Higher Education, we went with the governor's number for their agency administration reduction of 60,000 in the first year and 81 in the second. We reduced the appropriation for MinLink and Minitex by $205,000. That's a one-time reduction. And then we also reduced the appropriation for state work study to 1,768. We actually were able to put a little bit more money in there than we had initially. There's a one-time appropriation for interstate reciprocity payments to North Dakota. That's on line 13. And then if you go down to line 19, we took $50,000 out of some emergency grants at technical and community colleges. And again, that is a one-time appropriation. Moving on down to Minsky on line 26, their reduction to O&M is there, the 9967. Central office reduction is $500,000 for our total of $10,467,000.
I just want to interrupt for a minute and note that the central office reduction is actually $1 million because last year the numbers were reported wrong, and they were reduced $500,000 last year. So that actually results in $1 million. And you see that in the tails, that it's actually $1 million reduction.
Going on to the University of Minnesota, on lines, going from lines 33 to 38, you see their reductions for O&M, and then for the various specials, the Ag Special, the System Special, Health Sciences, IT, and the Genomics Partnership. And that brings us down to our target of cut of $47 million, and on the far right column is our tails reduction.
And we should talk about this, too, what we're doing here.
The bottom from lines 47 to 56 is language in the bill that, or it's actually the revenue that comes in the bill for the Office of Higher Education. These are registration fees for private schools, and that will just be the revenue that is generated for having them go through that process. And then there's also on lines 53 is we do have some language in the bill that increases the limits for the self-loan program as well as the repayment time. And I think Senator Pappas will be going over that.
You can do the state grant stuff.
Then if you, on the other side of the document, are the state grant changes. We have $1 million in the base for the Summer Bridge program that was created last year. We, to fulfill the deficiency in the state grant program, which you see the 35 at the bottom there, there is statutory proration that specifies how that reduction will be done. And then we are also eliminating eligibility for the ninth semester in the state grant.
Then, Mr. Chairman and members, if you want to turn to Section 6, this is where we cut back in the state grant. This is the only change we made in the state grant. We had expanded eligibility to nine semesters. We're now running a deficiency, so we're retracting and going back to eight semesters. We did not make any other changes in the parameters of the state grant. The Section 7 is what Ms. Weidman mentioned. We increased the loan limits for the self-loans, which is administered by the Office of Higher Education. Section 8 extends the duration allowed for the repayment of the self-loans. Section 9 is where we increase the bonding authority of the Higher Education Financing Authority from $950,000 to $1.3 million. That's also traveling as a separate bill. The Higher Education Financing Authority is what the private colleges use to get a better rate when they need to borrow money for their building projects, and they also think this is a good time to build in the economy. Section 10, 11, 12, and 14 is where we increase the fees for the Office of Higher Education regulatory activities regarding licensed and regulated post-secondary institutions. These are mostly the for-profit career schools. And that those fees are raised to cover the cost of the regulation. Section 13, we're also increasing MNSCU's revenue bonding authority. So they can, if they need to build dormitories or things that they do with student fees, we're raising that from $200 million to $300 million. Section 15 is an appropriation transfer from the Achieve Scholarship Program to the state grant program because that money was borrowed last year for Achieve. Section 16 amends a 2009 appropriation indicating that that was supposed to be a one-time grant. That's for the emergency grants. Section 17 amends session law granting authority to the Office of Higher Education to make transfers between programs. Section 18 is a technical amendment to a 2009 appropriation requiring the University of Minnesota to make payments to the Minnesota Wildlife Rehab Center. The language wasn't clear enough for them to be able to make those payments. Section 19 allows for carry forwards. If not all the appropriations for child care and work study are spent, they can carry those forward to the next year. And Section 20 is special rules for the revamping of the Achieve Scholarship to fit under the current appropriations. And Section 21 are appropriate repealers. So, Mr. Chairman, I always have a lot of fun negotiating with Representative Rukavina, and I'm sorry he can't be here today. We did come to an agreement, and this is our article.
Are there any questions on either the worksheet or the language? Senator Kwan.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if there are no questions or concerns, I would move that.
Mr. Chair, I just have a quick question. Senator Pappas, I'm just curious about the appropriation to the technical, in Section 16. I mean, why, when we're making so many cuts, why are we appropriating money?
We're amending last year's cut.
Or is that from last year?
Yeah, for action.
It was Mr. Berg.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Paymar, this is actually amending the language from last year to make it clear that that was a one-time appropriation, and so there shouldn't be tails in the state budget. If you go earlier on page 2, you'll see that we actually cut that program by $50,000 in the second year. So there'll be $100,000 remaining in the program in 2011, but that makes it clear that it's a one-time appropriation.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Senator Cohen?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if there are no other questions or concerns, I'd move that Article 2, as presented by Senator Pappas, be placed in the bill along with the spreadsheet that attaches to it.
Okay, any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Mr.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lanchesky is here, and we've listened to discussion of the tax article. So my guess is we'd probably be in pretty good shape for that one, I would think.
I think that would be the case. Representative Lanchesky, would you like to make a motion?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've had fiscal staff walk through it. There's no changes from the previous presentation. So if I may, I'd like to move Article 14 in the corresponding spreadsheet.
Okay. The motion is before us. Any discussion on the motion by Representative Lanchesky? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Senator Cohen, we could take part, could take care of part of the energy section if you'd like to make a motion. We would not be adopting the entire section, but certain parts of it.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and I don't know if – I don't see Representative Hilty, but Senator Anderson is here. There are some areas of energy that we don't have the ability to deal with, but I would like to suggest that I would move to adopt Article 4, the energy section, with several exceptions. Would you like me to go through?
No.
I think if
what we have,
people are getting a copy of it, but you may want to. You should maybe read off which sections are not. We're not sure it's going to be. This is another amendment. It's a technical? Okay. This is a technical one, but we should have somebody who knows about it explain what this is about. But why don't we take care of your amendment first?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm moving adoption of Article 4, which is the energy section. With the exception, this would mean we would not include these sections. On Article 4, Section 3, Subdivision 5, and I should mention that I think members have this handwritten sheet. I'm not sure other folks have it. But on Section 3, Subdivision 5, my motion would exclude lines 2.12 to 2.15. That deals with the petrol fund. I would also include as part of my motion Section 3, Subdivision 3, lines 3.8 to 3.17, also the petrol fund. Section 7, lines 5.30 to lines 6.2. That deals with the assigned risk section. And lastly, Section 10, lines 13.30 to 14.67. That deals with the securities registration fee. And, Mr. Chairman and members, what this represents is the agreement that this that the House and Senate have put together through Senator Anderson and Representative Hilty. But it leaves out significant sections where we have a disagreement or have not reached a resolution with the administration. So those are still open issues in this conference committee. And I don't think it's a secret to anybody that we have this intersection between assigned risk in the petrol fund and, separate from that, the securities registration fee. So, Mr. Chairman, within the energy article, my motion is to accept all except the sections that I have specified for those reasons.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none then, all those in favor of the motion as explained, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried. Senator Cohen, economic – oh, excuse me. We've got this other amendment that I'm told is technical. I'm not sure where it came from, however. Is there somebody here that
– and Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure Senator Anderson's got a copy of it.
Okay, I guess it was House staff that said we needed this, Mr. Soderberg.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, can either Ms. Marks or Ms. Marks do it?
Mr. Chair, what it does is, there's an assessment in here related to, it's a $400,000. There's an appropriation, and then there's an assessment to collect that appropriation from fees. This is rewriting the language that has that assessment. I'm not sure why it's being rewritten. I think it appears to be an attempt to clarify it, and it may make it parallel to other sections that do that, but I think it's taking out the language that's currently here and putting it in a new section. So that's what I can explain.
Well, we were told it was developed by staff and that it was technical. Senator Cohen, I suspect we could adopt it. And if there's further questions of Mr. Soderberg, who is the fiscal analyst that works on this section, we can check that out.
Mr. Chairman, can I just inquire of Senator Anderson if
Mr. Chair, this really doesn't have anything to do with the energy part of commerce, so I'm really not familiar with this. I don't believe.
Yeah, it looks like
registration. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would guess it's more related to Senator Tomassoni than Senator Anderson, but you're the only person who was sitting there that could ask.
Do we? You want to adopt it or wait?
This was presented by Ron.
Yeah, and we're told it's technical.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the language. I would have trust in Mr. Soderberg to do the right thing. And maybe
I could just inquire, has Ms. Novak had a chance to look at this?
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that it was requested this morning as a technical correction, a clarifying amendment, and Mr. Soderberg asked that it be drafted this morning.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I'd move adoption of the A1 amendment.
Okay, the motion is before us, and if as we move forward, we're not going to be signing the report yet. If there are any questions, we can address it, but I'm sure it's okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, then if we could go to economic development. I thought I saw Representative Clark. I'm not sure we have anybody else, but I would move adoption of Article 7, the economic development Mr. Chairman, I'm kind of interrupting myself. There's some language being distributed. Let me make my first motion, and then we can deal with the language that's being distributed. So, Mr. Chairman, relative to Article 7, I would move adoption of that article with these two exceptions. Section 3, Subdivision 6, lines 3.10 to 3.15. And then in Article 8, hold on one second. So I just moved Article 6. roll off then. This is our.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Mr. Chairman, we have two articles that are part of economic development, so let me just make that first motion. The section being excluded deals with the petrol fund for the same reason as mentioned previously. So that would be my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
Then again, we've got two articles. Article 8, also part of economic development. This is what's called the miscellaneous economic development, would move exclusion of Section 1, lines 13.11 to line 15.19. This also deals with the petrol fund. I'd make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Murphy.
You're talking about Section 1 or Section 1 and 2?
Section 1.
Right. Doing my best Senator Betzold imitation.
Okay. I'm sorry. Mr. Mossman and I are discussing. It is Sections 1 and 2. I'm sorry. You're right, Senator Murphy.
All right.
You get the Betzold Award for the night. Pardon?
Can I get an award sometime?
You're not in the conference.
Oh, that's right.
Plus, you're causing enough trouble as it is.
Senator Cohen's motion.
So, Mr. Chairman, let me make sure. So that would be in Article 8, Sections 1 and 2, lines. The lines were correct because it does go to 15.19. So that would be the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now, we do have some amendments.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we've got some additional language. Let me start out.
Which one would you like to take up first?
Well, let me ask. I'm not... Okay. Mr. Chairman, the A1 amendment, which has been distributed, would move that amendment. And these numbers reflect exactly what Representative Rukavina and Senator Tomasoni had agreed to. The numbers that we have in front of us are not what have been proposed originally.
Adopting the whole article.
We should hold off because this is better.
Yeah, just we can just move that article.
So we're not gonna, we'll have to do this right
now. So, just engaged with the discussion with staff.
So these are the correct extended employment numbers that Representative Rukavina and Senator Tomasoni had agreed to.
Another technical amendment.
Yes.
Any discussion on Senator Cohen's motion to adopt the A1 amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Mr. Chairman, there's another amendment that's been distributed, the A110. I'm asking that be not dealt with right now. That deals with the petrol fund. So
okay,
let's just put that aside.
That's on hold.
Yeah, and then let me go.
We have an amendment for Representative Solberg, but we also, it's been drawn to my attention, there's Article 15 beginning on page 22 that was not in this motion. He's got another motion, but why don't we, adopting the articles, why don't we?
Fine, I would move the adoption of Article 15, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Solberg.
In the Article 7, Economic Development, page 24, Section 3, lines 24.9 to 24.12, and page 27, Section 5, 27.2 to 27.2.
Mr. Chair? Representative Solberg?
Yes.
Could you use your microphone?
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Thank you. Page 24. Article 7, yeah.
Article 15.
Oh. Article, I'm sorry, it's Article 15. I was looking at the wrong part. I'm sorry. It's in the economic development section.
Which is right after Article 7.
Do you have an article?
Right after Article 7. Page 24. Page 24 will get you there.
Article 15?
Yeah, that's the article that we had just adopted, and now he's amending it.
So
page 24.
Thank you.
Delete section 3. That's lines 24.9 to 24.12, which deals with the renaming of the Iron Range Resource and Rehabilitation. So name Iron Road. And then page 27. Delete section 5. And that's renaming of the DJJ fund and some other things up there. So it's deleting those two sections.
Okay, the motion is before us. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I know Senator Tomasoni agrees with this. In fact, I have a memo from him relative to that, and this certainly is consistent with taking policy out of the bill. Okay. Policy not related to money.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed.
Motion carried.
Mr. Chairman, now that I've made that motion, will you people protect me from Anzell's?
I suspect there will be other opportunities before we adjourn the session. Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that would conclude motions to be made at this point. And maybe just to update members and others as to where we are. Mr. Chairman, I think you and I would argue we're fairly close to having a conference committee report. We have several outstanding issues. We're not prepared to act at this point on the State Department section. Obviously, we have some issue differences that we're hoping are going to be resolved between the House and the Senate. I'm sorry, some language differences between the House and the Senate.
There's agreement on the numbers.
We have agreement on the numbers between the House and the Senate. We have some significant disagreement with the administration relative to the governor's office and other administration employees. As everybody can tell from the amendments we've been making, we have significant disagreement with this combination of assigned risk and the petrol fund. And we have significant disagreement relative to the securities fees. We have presented information to the administration and talked over history, the history being, of course, that the governor himself proposed lifting the cap on the security fees 2 years ago. We thought we were acting in a parallel way to what the administration had suggested 2 years ago. Apparently, the governor has changed his mind from where we were at that time to where we are today, and objects to a fee. We've explained to him, and I explained to the governor, explained to Commissioner Hansen and Mr. De La Forest that this is something that we understand. We've tried to supplement the information to make it clear that this talk about it being passed on to the consumer is not correct. That it's something that is always absorbed is our understanding. That's the information we have, but be that as it may, that's a significant difference. The other area of difference, and let me just update members other than Representative Paymar and Senator Higgins, is the governor through his representatives had conveyed to Representative Carlson and myself yesterday, late afternoon, early evening, a wish that we would make a good faith effort to move in the direction of the administration as best we could. And Mr. Chairman, please correct my verbiage. if I'm going to make a mistake on this, as best we could relative to some of the accounts in Senator Higgins and Representative Paymar's article and division and Senator Foley's. And that would be a request for an improvement on the cut to the Department of Corrections institutions, to not have as significant a cut in the Office of Justice programs, and to provide a little bit of help for the BCA appropriation. Representative Paymar in particular suggested, when Mr. Chairman, you and I talked to the three chairmen, that there were clearly significant mixed messages relative to the BCA, and that, in fact, the position of the two conferees who are sitting here, as presented to us, was something totally in line with what was appropriate for the BCA. Certainly we've understood the administration's objections to particularly where the Senate was relative to the Department of Corrections. Mr. Chairman, you and I asked our respective conferees to try to meet, again, the admonition and request made to us by the administration, and I can state unequivocally that Representative Paymar and Senator Higgins absolutely met that charge by presenting some numbers to us that, Mr. Chairman, you and I believe and feel strongly match up with what we heard from the representatives of the governor. Those numbers have been conveyed to those gentlemen. We don't have a response. And to be fair, that was those numbers were conveyed at about 5 o'clock. Those are the differences in this conference committee at this time. And so, Mr. Chairman, I know we left it with the governor's office and Commissioner Hansen that we would meet with them at some point this evening, see if there's some further suggestions they might have. But I want to suggest to all the conferees that this conference committee report, as put together to the present time, and if you incorporate proposed cuts for state departments and proposed cuts for public safety, that our position is actually stronger than the governor's relative to cuts by a little bit, and that the only place where the governor makes more cuts than this legislative conference committee is in the area of student aid, higher education aid. That's it. We have more cuts in all the other areas, and I hope Mr. Mossman and Mr. Marks will correct me if I misstate this, but I believe we have more cuts than the governor has in the other areas. If the governor is insistent on more cuts in this conference committee, the governor says we can't touch public safety. In fact, he wants more money. So are the cuts to come from public safety? The governor says we can't touch Veterans Affairs. We have not. The governor might want to collapse all of his agencies, but that's what he'll do. Senator Betzel, you could speak to this better than I could. I mean, I've had direct jurisdiction over the agencies you've got, but you've been dealing with it. The governor could suggest we take the cuts out of the agencies to a greater extent. That will probably collapse a couple of them. He hasn't specified which agencies we should simply eliminate. We could take more cuts from ag. It's been pointed out to me by members on both sides of the aisle and both bodies that our cuts to ag are already significant. If we were to take the cuts out of ag, maybe we should just shut down the department and let that be the lesson to rural Minnesota as to what the governor thinks about rural Minnesota. We could take the cuts out of economic development, but then we might as well just shut down the agency. we could take the cuts out of the environment. Again, I will suggest that where we're dealing with limited dollars, that our cuts are already at the governor's level or ahead ahead of his. And to now take these cuts without, to be blunt, something on the revenue side, the cuts will be absolutely devastating. Probably the easiest, and she's not here to defend this, I'll just suggest that if we want to do this in one fell swoop and make the easiest cut in terms of a dollar, I'm not suggesting in terms of public policy, we would just take the money out of student aid, because that would be the easiest cut without nickel-diming stuff. It's not nickel-diming stuff anymore. We would take the cut out of student aid, but keep in mind that's on top of a deficit of $43 million. And that would be a great lesson to every college student and family with a college-age kid in Minnesota. And it would be a great irony, because one of the things we've done with what in this meeting, in these last few minutes, is we adopted the higher education article at a level the governor requested. And what the administration requested of us was to eliminate the House proposal on tuition caps, which Senator Pappas and Representative Rukavina agreed to. It was a Senate position. We agreed with the governor, Representative Rukavina, in an effort to deal with this, reluctantly agreed. And the governor insisted that we maintain the ACHIEVE program, which had been eliminated by the House but had been questioned in the Senate. And we made sure the ACHIEVE program continued. A great irony that the scholarship program we intend to maintain is one for arguably a higher level of student, and we throw by the side of the road all the other higher ed students, post-secondary students in the state. That would be a great irony. But that would seem to be the place where the governor wants us to go in terms of more cuts. So, Mr. Chairman, we've really, I would argue, bent over backwards in many respects to meet what the administration has requested. And at this point, I'm not quite sure where we go.
Senator Cohen, just to add a comment, the description that you were presenting the conference committee and the public there was the finance part of the bill. It did not include the aids and credit issue, the Lincheski motion that was made. But I would like Mr. Mossman, if he would, to maybe just kind of give us those bottom line numbers so that it's clear as to exactly how close we have done, because he's done some work on that issue. So, Mr. Mossman.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, Senator Cohen, members, by bottom line numbers, I'm going to, and you can ask me to elaborate as you will. Currently, the position of the governor for these finance budget areas was a net improvement to the general fund in budget reductions and revenues and transfers of $206.7 million. And at present, the conference committee, with the proposed revenues transfers and budget reductions, are $207.4 million, so slightly more budget savings in the conference committee position at this time. The there is, on budget reductions, the governor in these budget areas had $117.1 million in cuts, and the legislature $113.7 million in cuts presently. And as has been mentioned, there's a $6 million difference. That's a difference of $3.4 million. There's a $6 million difference on higher education appropriation reductions, $47 million versus $53.3 million for the governor.
And that was the only place, because we did not cut the financial aid recommendations that the governor had made.
Mr. Chair and members, the governor also has more reductions in economic development, and that budget area is largely attributable to the eliminations of some state functions that the conference committee did not take up, and that's the other budget area.
Okay. Any questions?
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair, before you recess or adjourn, I do have a revised Article 13 I'd like to distribute, just so the members have it and for the public distribution. I recognize you're not going to get to the state government tonight, but, you know, I do have a revised article I would like to have put out so people have a chance to look at it before we actually take it up.
That would be fine if the pages could distribute it. This article, I know we had, this was is this in addition to the agreed-upon one from last night?
So we know Mr. Chair, and Representative Kahn is not here, I think last night questioned whether some of that was agreed upon. This, I would ask you to set aside the one that I had last night. This article simply reflects the budget sheet that was agreed upon. Nothing more. And Representative Kahn has been given copies of this.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg.
Just for clarification, and this is not an agreed to. This is this a Senate position or?
Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, we agreed upon the Senate upon the budget sheet last night. This has been prepared, to the best of my understanding, to reflect the budget sheet. Nothing more.
But Mr. Chair, for a point of clarification, this has not been agreed to with Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, no.
So he's presenting this as his position on state departments. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if we could just quickly have staff go through the articles that have been agreed to, just the not the numbers, but just the names, and then the articles that still remain. I just want to make sure I have
for
me
for our action
yes.
today, Representative Grapple.
Yes.
Okay.
You got this.
See, we. I have the list here. I think. You wanted to know the articles that had been agreed to?
Yeah, or Mr. Chairman, perhaps I could just state as I understand what we've done and just to make
sure. Well, I can quickly run through the ones
that'd be great.
That we've agreed to, if you'd like.
That'd be great.
We've agreed to the environmental section. We've agreed to the agricultural section. We've agreed to the veterans section. Transportation. Higher education, state government is on hold. We agreed to the issue of, now this is where it gets a little bit more complicated. I think it's best to say that some of the, or in public safety also is on hold. Some of the other areas, those ending motions that we had, we agreed to those sections with certain exceptions, and basically they were the revenue and or transfer funds, those larger ones that have been talked about, the mutual fund question, the Workers' Comp Association, or reinsurance fund, and let's see, what am I missing? Petrol. Yeah, I wasn't to the taxes yet. And in the tax section. The way workers' comp reinsurance fund. Yeah, I don't have that list before. Yeah, the assigned risk. I should have probably had these folks do it.
And, Mr. Chairman.
And then, of course, we adopted the tax provision as well, the aids and credits, with the Lonchesky motion. So we've. Basically, as was pointed out, we're relatively close with the exception of public safety and state government, and then those revenue issues.
And, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Grapple,
if any of my questions you'd prefer I ask in a non-public setting, just let me know. But this is kind of my opportunity to learn. And
no,
kind of
that's fine.
In the area of
we may not always know the answer, but we'll certainly entertain the question.
Fair enough, Mr. Chairman. And, Mr. Chairman, in those areas right now, where we've not achieved an agreement, do we have a rough estimate about what that solution number is if we total up Petra Funds, assigned risk, mutual fund, state government finance, public safety? What would be the approximate amount of non-solution agreement?
About 48, but we can have that totaled up.
Mr. Chairman, I would think $30 million.
What would it be about?
It's more like 40.
Signed risk plan, and I'm thinking it's close to about 48, but we'll get the right number here from one of the fiscal analysts.
And
it's late in the day. I may be off.
And Mr. Chairman,
Senator Cohen.
I don't want to represent Garofalo, but if you allow an editorial comment while you're making the total, coming up with the total, I would disagree. I think we're quite close to the we don't have a disagreement on public safety with the governor, based upon what we heard last night.
No, I just said that was on hold. Senator Cohen, Representative Garofalo, that we have provided them with our latest offer, and we're waiting for them to get back to us, which, by the way, the question about whether we're going to adjourn or recess, I'm going to suggest to my co-chair that we recess to see if we have any further information from the governor's office. I was off, I guess I was somewhere between, I was higher than Senator Cohen, and he was below where we're actually at, so we're at 41.6.
41.6, okay.
Oh, he says just 41, not 6, strike the 6, 41.
Okay.
These numbers have been floating back and forth between House and Senate and what have you, so that's why we've got good fiscal analysts.
And Mr. Chairman? Chairman, what I've communicated to anyone who's asked me is that since the beginning of this process, my impression has been that the legislature wants to send a bill to the governor that he will sign, and the communication we've gotten from the governor's office is they want to sign a bill that's been sent by the legislature. So I've been feeling positive about things. In your and Senator Cohen's meetings with the governor, do we still have that positive momentum going forward? Have we stalled? Are we moving backward? How would be a fair?
Representative Garofalo and Senator Cohen can comment. With the motions that were made, there were some of the governor's positions included. We're still communicating. Hopefully we'll be talking again this evening during recess. People in the audience know that some of the recesses have been fairly lengthy, and that's quite frankly because Senator Cohen and I have been meeting with the governor's chief of staff and the commissioner of finance and exchanging ideas, concepts, and the conversations are continuing. Our goal is still the same as I think that they've stated as well, that both sides would like to see a bill signed. But what sometimes happens when you get close to the end, sometimes it gets a little more difficult. I've tried to encourage the governor's people to be fluid, and we're trying to be fluid as well so that we can arrive at an agreement and not lock in to positions in such a hard fashion that you sometimes can't accomplish things.
And, Mr. Chairman, by the two quick questions, and then I'll let the conference committee go. I'm sorry. The first is that with the $41 million in separation.
I had, by the way, written down 43, so I wasn't as far off as when I spoke the second time.
That's why you're the chair of the committee. Mr. Chairman, right now with that $41 million separation, we have the 312 target for solution. In absence of an agreement, would the conference committee and the leaders be inclined to move forward with the agreed-upon items? Of the 270 figure, or are we committed to the 312 target for this committee for Monday morning?
I think we're still committed to the 312, and we're still working with the governor's office, so, that's a bit of a hypothetical in terms of what might be down the road. Our goal is still to have a bill that's
agreeable by the conferees and the governor, and that's one of the reasons that we pointed out how close the numbers were on the finance side, at least.
And, Mr. Chairman, realize
within about roughly was about $1 million, I think, or thereabouts on the finance side.
And Mr. Chairman, realize some of these questions, I'm actually channeling Mrs. Garofalo here because she wants to know if I'm going to be home or around here tomorrow. So that's where this is coming from. But, Mr. Chairman, just one last.
Getting more likely as the clock moves forward that you may be around tomorrow, but we want to meet with the governor's folks first. That's why we're going to recess.
More learning.
Would it help if your wife called the governor?
You know, I'm not going to answer that question because she might be watching right now, Senator, so I don't know. And then just my last question, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate you allowing me to ask this.
I was going to ask if her politics might be on the right side of the aisle or not, and you wouldn't have to have you know, answer that or not.
A funny story, Mr. Chairman, she's a teacher, and you know that group that she's affiliated with, they got a portion of their dues that they donate to political candidates. Every year they use that money against my opponent, and so I tried to get her to opt out of that so they would stop spending money against me, and she says no. I'll let you figure it out.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just my final question is that with the adoption of these reports, as Senator Cohen mentioned, in the areas of finance, they're relatively close within a couple million dollars of each other. The big difference is the property tax aids and credits where the governor proposed significantly more reductions. Should I confer, or should I assume that the property tax aids and credits portion of this is locked up and it's not coming back, or is that still in play as far as the negotiations go?
Well, we adopted it. That is our position, and I don't foresee a change there. But like I pointed out earlier, we also at the same time want to be fluid, but that's probably a very difficult place for this conference committee or the Minnesota House, and I would say the Senate, to go any further than where we are right now.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for being gracious.
We're not putting that on the table as something we want to go further.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm relaying a question that the state auditor has because she's been here and she has an interest in the state government budget article. And the question is I'll make myself available when the conference committee is prepared to take it up, but she and others do want to know if you have an anticipated time period to do that.
That's one of the areas that's under discussion, but as I understand, that's one of the areas that is in dispute as well relative to the House and Senate in terms of whether we adopt language or not. So you could almost better answer that question as you work with Representative Kahn. I can't predict. I don't know that it's necessary she be here, but if she chooses to be, she's more than welcome.
Mr. Chair.
I didn't hear what the auditor said.
Can I come to the table?
Sure.
Mr. Chair and committee, I don't have a legislative liaison. It's me.
Well, very good. Welcome.
I know. I work for my paycheck pretty hard. And I don't mind doing this, but it's been long days like you guys are doing, and I have some other things I'm supposed to be doing all day tomorrow. So I'm just trying to figure out what's going on.
There is some difficulty arriving at the language items between the House and the Senate. That's about all I can say right now. Representative Kahn has kept those issues on the table. There's about half a dozen, or more than that, probably about 10 or 12 issues that are the House positions that she would like to see adopted. And I don't know what I can say beyond that. Maybe Senator Betzfeldt can comment if he chooses.
Well, Mr. Chair, the Representative Kahn is not here, so I don't know that I can really go into the area.
And I can't go a bunch beyond without her being here either. But that's something that they're hopefully talking about. I'm not sure how they're going to resolve it. Any other questions before we recess?
Mr. Chair, have we adopted the 13, or is that just here to look at? Have we done anything with Article 13?
Article 13.
Yes. Mr. Chair, that's no. The revised article I just had passed out.
That's in part what we were just talking about. The state government finance division chairs are still working on that article. That's what, and we've got the Representative Kahn version, we've got Representative Betzold's version, I guess, as amended or changed as he would propose it, but they haven't agreed. Representative Solberg asked that question if this was agreed to, and the answer was no, and it kind of goes back to the question that the auditor was asking about, although she was asking specifically about her section. This section is still under negotiation between the division chairs, as I understand it.
Mr. Chair, I raise that question because all the years I've served here, I worked with the Gambling Control Board. Every time I pick up the paper, I see where somebody got hooked on the gambling, been cheating the companies. Is it wise time to, I think we ought to add more. Maybe I'm not reading this right, but I want to take a serious look at that before we do that with the Gambling Control Board.
At this point, it's a proposal. It hasn't been adopted, nor has